Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about COVID pass, and then subtitle, if you want to call it that, for lack of a better term, remember 1976 swine flu. We'll get into that in just a moment. We're talking with Dr. Steve Grable. Dr. Grable is a 30-year board-certified physician, and I believe he is well capable and qualified to answer the questions in relationship to the COVID vaccination and whether or not it's efficacious, and whether or not we should scramble down to the local jab center and get our vaccinations while we do the drive-through. We were just talking about that just before the news break. Dr. Grable, take a moment and finish your statement that we're into before the news break, and then we have Bob on the line to ask some questions.
So we were talking about, does the vaccine seem to cause any problems with the reproductive systems? And even by Pfizer's own admission, people who've been vaccinated or vaccinees shed something. And we believe it's the spike protein. And what we are seeing is there are hundreds of reports coming in of women who've just been around others who've been vaccinated having all kinds of reproductive problems. Very, very frightening. And Mike Adams has gone so far as to say that people who've been vaccinated are literally human bioweapons. You know, that might be a little extreme, but some companies I know have put up signs on their door saying you are not allowed to come in if you've been recently vaccinated. So I think that people need to really take a look at this. This is something that we've never done. And what's really frightening has to do with something called prions. I don't know if you've discussed this in the past with your listeners. But part of this spike protein, there are these little folded proteins called prions. And prions just happen to be what's involved in mad cow disease. And they saw this in animal models about 2 weeks after mice were injected. They developed essentially spongiform encephalopathy or mad cow disease. And some experts are based on human nature or our physiology, that we could very likely see this in about 18 months. This is extremely frightening.
One of the things, and you touched on that, across the nation and around the globe with the vaccinations, there have been an extremely high number of those with sterilization, with paralyzation, and even deaths. In fact, I believe the last number I read around the globe, there's been some 8,000 some odd deaths that's directly related to the COVID vaccination. Doctor, hold on a moment. I believe we have Bob on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yeah, hi, Pastor. First of all, I can never be a doctor. I couldn't remember all those names of those diseases.
Yes.
But anyway, forgive me if you talked about this before, but what's going on over in India with 30,000 people dying a day? Have you talked about that?
We have not. Dr. Grable, would you respond to that?
I'm glad you brought that up. COVID cases were increasing up until around October in India. And after that, the number of cases drop down consistent with herd immunity and people becoming immune. Very shortly after they instituted vaccines in India, there's appeared to be a tremendous spike in COVID cases, upwards of sometimes 400,000 a month being reported, when previously the max at the worst was around 100,000. Now, I will tell you that I have heard reports where people have been literally paid, actors, to lay in the street and act as if they're dead because they're trying to promote this fear factor. So let me give you a little fact here you might find interesting. If you look at, let me see, I've got it here somewhere. I'm just going off the top of my head. So in the United States, the number of cases per million have been around 1,500 deaths. The number of deaths in the UK, about 1,700. The number of deaths in India, 112. So one of the things they're pointing out in this article is that they're using, and this is by Worldometer, by the way, they're using a homeopathic called Arsenicum Album. So, of course, the diagnosis of COVID is greatly, greatly exaggerated with this PCR testing, which should be thrown away.
That's right.
But they're trying to paint a picture, and I think we're getting a lot of false, fake information. But if there's any problem in India, it's because they're having a massive COVID vaccination program. Hmm. That, to me, would explain the problems that we're seeing over there. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Would you say, before you ask, make another statement, Dr. Grable, would you say that what you're seeing in India could be compared to what took place on the continent of Africa with the vaccinations by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that caused sterilization and deaths by the thousands, and they still have cases in the world court that will not allow Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with any pharmaceutical that they represent to come into their nation? And would you say that this has any corollary with what you're seeing happening now with the deaths in India?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're seeing here, I've got a piece about the Danish Health Authority has said they are not going to use the Johnson & Johnson test because of blood clots and so forth. So I think that your listeners, the thing that they've got to try to grasp is that much of what they're hearing on the news is really fake. And they need to start looking at different sources to get their information.
Right.
And I would plead with them to really study before they subject themselves to an unnecessary experimental gene therapy operating system.
Bob, did that answer your question? Do you have other
questions? Yeah, it sure does. I mean, we all know that probably it's all fake information, but I mean, they're making it sound like every other person in India is dying and dropping in the streets, you know?
Yes. Well, Bob, okay. Thank you so much for your call. Dr. Grable, are you familiar with what took place in 1976 with the swine flu epidemic, supposedly?
Yes. Well, that was another one of these concocted pandemics that they said, "Oh my gosh, we've got to get vaccinated," and they started to see a tremendous number of cases of what's called Guillain-Barré syndrome, where it can be a very severe neurologic problem. I actually saw a fella die who had GBS. So it was one of those big oops, and they realized that they had overblown this whole thing.
Dr. Grable,
you know, it's fascinating, just kind of as an aside, Doc, and I'm sure you've heard this, you know, Fauci himself said that the Spanish flu, which is often mentioned to frighten people, that roughly 50 million of those deaths were due to bacterial pneumonia. Now, they would like you to believe that that happened because they were weakened by the virus, but at that time, masking was mandatory. And there is certainly a legitimate argument to be made that these people got it because of all the masks they were wearing.
Absolutely. One of the things, Dr. Grable, and I've done some research on the 1976 swine flu, and for the benefit of our listeners, and then you can respond to this, I've just made some blurbs from the research articles on that, and it started in Fort Dix, New Jersey. One soldier that had already been in bed sick with the flu, common flu, was forced to get out of bed and participate in some forced marches by the soldiers. He collapsed and died. In the process of dying, while in the forced march, his sergeant gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. The soldier died. They rated it after final research of the pathogen that was in his system and determined by the CDC that it was a swine flu. His sergeant that had given him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation did not contract the disease. And that one soldier is the only human being in America that died with the swine flu. And there was not another known case that was discovered around the globe. It was the only one. And yet 46 million Americans took the vaccination. No known cases around the world other than that one. And they pushed the benefits of the vaccination, and yet the vaccinations actually given was not the vaccination serum material that they had researched that supposedly was being given, and yet the people were required to sign certifications and affidavits. They were told all of the dangers and all of the side issues. I looked at some video footage from the 1976 ABC News, which was reporting the news at that time, talked about the number of people that had died, number of people that were in bad straits physically as a result of it. 4,000 Americans wound up filing suit against the federal government as a result of paralyzation and deaths for family members and for themselves. And so the point being, I see a very clear corollary between the hype, if I can use that term, that was generated across America, forcing people, encouraging people, cajoling people into getting the vaccination. And yet, according to the ABC News reel of 1976, they interviewed the physician that supposedly had made the final decision that it was the swine flu and it was going to cause a major, major pandemic and we needed to vaccinate people. He refused to answer. This is in 76 on video footage. He refused to answer, said he didn't recall what the rationale was behind saying that it was going to be a pandemic if we did not vaccinate everybody. I see a direct corollary with that, Dr. Grable, and I am sure that you do, but it's a replay of that. It goes back to, as you've said very clearly, eugenics. And so perhaps we need to inform our listeners today, Dr. Grable, what is eugenics? What is the motivation behind it? What do we see that's the promulgating factor that's part of this vaccination push?
Well, eugenics, there have been a number of people. You know, Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, was a eugenicist. Bill Gates, you know, all these, you know, George Soros, all these globalist characters. I think that it's demonic, very frankly. I think this is the old good versus evil. And what they are trying to teach our young people and the public is that the scourge of the planet is humanity. And their goal is to eliminate 15 out of 16 people. You know, they've said publicly 500 million is the optimal population. Well, you know, they can't just go around killing people, so they have to come up with some kind of a scheme to do this that doesn't raise suspicion. But Christians and other people who are aware and who study this stuff can see the patterns involved. Interestingly, you mentioned Fort Dix. You know, as I'm sure you know, that's where a lot of the research comes out with gain-of-function research, where they try to create nastier viruses. That's one of the chief places is Fort Dix.
That is correct.
So, yeah. You know,
earlier in your statement, Dr. Grable, you made the statement that it was a laboratory-developed pathogen, i.e. the COVID. Explain what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I have a document by Richard Fleming, who is an MD, JD, PhD, amazingly trained guy. And he shows all the references to prove that Fauci was involved with the development of this coronavirus. And when the NIH in 2013 or 14 had a twinge of conscience, they stopped funding. And they shipped it over to Wuhan, gave them $3.7 million to continue the research over there. So even virologists will say this is insanity, because they know that even the best virology lab, that viruses can and will escape eventually. So these are kids playing with gasoline and matches, and sure enough, this altered, genetically altered virus got out and caused the problems that we're seeing.
Dr. Grable, I've said for quite some time now, and you're exactly on target, I've researched probably about 1,000 articles on that subject, and it's like Bill Gates with the different internet protocols that he developed, and then he developed the virus, and then he developed the antivirus so that you could buy the patch to put on your system to kill the virus in your computer. And I think we watched the very same thing take place with the COVID vaccination. The virus was developed in the laboratory, and the only question I have is whether or not it was accidental or purposeful for that to be released and go around the world. Now here's Dr. Fauci, that was part and parcel of the creator of that, and that's supposed to be the one that's the healer, that's supposed to be the one that's going to tell us what to do to prevent the deaths and the dying from the pandemic as a result of it. It's plandemic. What are the actual statistical numbers of those that can actually contract COVID? What is the stats on those that will die from it?
Oh, it's minuscule. Even in the frail elderly, it might be 6% at the worst. And when you look at the common cold, there's typically an 8% death rate from the common cold in those people. So just as a follow-up a little bit to your statement a minute ago, talking about whether this was deliberate or accidental, everyone can make a conjecture one way or the other. But the thing to me that goes against accidental is we have known, and we know, Fauci himself said in 2005 that hydroxychloroquine was effective in coronavirus. We also know that vitamins A and D and zinc and a variety of other things can help. So if this virus just escaped by accident out of this lab, they could have very quickly jumped on this and made recommendations, and we could have had this squelched last April or May. So that really raises suspicion that this was all deliberate.
Absolutely. Dr. Grable, would you mind taking a moment and saying to our audience, and you touched on it then, but give an overview of what your recommendations medically would be for building the immune system and preventing the common flu, common cold, or pathogens as COVID?
Well, I can tell you this. Over the past year, I've treated roughly 25 people, and all 25 are home and doing fine. I have heard podcasts with physicians who have treated 25 COVID patients a week. So I think, first of all, I'm not patting myself on the back. I give my patients credit because they take care of themselves and they keep their immune system strong. So there's four things that I have everyone take. And you have to understand, this is just for information only. I can't make recommendations because I'm not your doctor. But I have all my patients on 5,000 units daily of vitamin A, 5,000 units of vitamin D3, and most of the good D3s have a little K2 in them. I have them on vitamin C a couple times a day, and maybe 30 milligrams of zinc. So those four things, vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc. If they start to feel puny, I have them follow what I call my cold sheet, and I use a silver hydrosol and some other things. And then if they feel like they're going forward with COVID, I have four medicines that I use and have had great success with them.
So it's something that is not a death, blow. If someone develops COVID, there is medical response. And major thing is building the immune system in advance of that. Dr. Grable, would you take a moment and share with our listeners also your medical practice and in the event they're searching for an answer, how they could reach you and get in touch with you for further follow-up?
Sure. I'm located behind Beaches Hospital at Jack's Beach. And if you just go to my website, drgrable.com, that's drgrable.com, I have all the contact info there. And I do a very thorough examination, and we have a fairly long questionnaire we have you fill out so that I can better understand what your underlying problems are. And we try very hard to stay away from using drugs and chemicals and try to use natural things to help you improve. As kind of a little segue from that, Doc, let me just mention something I think is very important. I don't know if you caught this in your reading, but lately the federal folks have been cracking down on physicians who are talking about the exact things that I'm talking about.
Yes.
And there is a COVID-19 Protection Act that was passed, which can threaten doctors with $10,000 fines if they tell you the science about how vitamins and minerals can help with COVID. And they have gone after a St. Louis chiropractor. And just in the last couple of days, Dr. Joe Mercola has had to pull off his site solid scientific data about vitamins and minerals and how they can help you in your immune system. This is a travesty.
Absolutely. And we're finding that more than just in that realm. It's developed now where all of the medical profession is being under the threat. In fact, as you recall, early in the stages of this last year, several thousand physicians, about 3,000 physicians, that had taken a stand against the COVID vaccination and talking about the less or the reduced likelihood of a death as a result of COVID. And they were all, how would you say, put on the sheet of being conspiracist and not real. And they're simply wanting to sequester anything that is truth about this real pathogen, but yet at the same time, the deadliness of it is not near what they're claiming. Dr. Grable, I'm looking at an article that says, Ron DeSantis suspends local COVID orders and bans the vaccine passports. Are you familiar with his stand on that?
Yes, and I'm very thrilled
yes.
that he has done that. And there is also Florida legislation that is going against mandatory vaccination.
Yes, in fact, that legislation you spoke of takes effect July the 1st. He also signed an executive order immediately lifting the local emergency order to bridge the gap between now and when the bill takes place, takes effect July the 1st of this year. He explained that the bill ensures that neither the state nor the local government can close a business or keep the kids out of personal instruction unless they satisfy the demands of the cautious justification in some way. And I was thankful that in that bill, and he signed the executive order until the bill goes into effect, I was thankful that in that he limits any future governor or any mayor in the state of Florida to issuing executive orders for more than 6 weeks. 6 weeks will be the limit. And I'm thankful that there were a number of the legislators that found that needful. And I'm thankful that I had an opportunity to have a dialogue and communication with about five or six of them, that it's my prayer that that had some impact and influence on them. And I'm thankful for that. But yet we find on the news and other sources today where there's the continuing intimidation. I don't know if you saw the news brief on that, but Sonny Hostin on The View declares the need to shun those that refuse to get vaccinated, specifically white evangelicals and Republicans. And the five-page article that I'm looking at boiled down simply where there's the intimidation and the threat, saying that if you don't get the vaccination, you need to be shut out. You need to not have it, not be able to be with the populace because of not being vaccinated. This article says, I think that if you have been vaccinated, no entry. You want to get on a plane, you got to get vaccinated. If you want to go any place, you need to show proof of vaccination. And those people who do not get the vaccination, that's fine. You just cannot spend time with other people. You don't get to have liberties as those that have been vaccinated have. From a physician standpoint, speak to that issue of our sequestration of our liberties if you refuse the vaccination. And with that also include, what are we to do? What are we to do as citizens, as conservatives, as volitional people to simply say no to the vaccination in what seems to be rapidly taking place and in a full frontal rush toward that, where we will be shut out of society unless we're vaccinated? What do you think? What do you see? Where is this going from your perspective?
Well, let me read you a little something, Doc, that a lot of people are not aware of. There is a national informed consent law codified as 45 CFR 46, which came into existence to protect human participants in clinical trials and experiments following the Nuremberg fiasco. According to this law, it is illegal to force, mandate, coerce, or incentivize participation into any ongoing clinical trial. I'm going to say that again. By law, it is illegal to force, mandate, coerce, or incentivize participation into a clinical trial. Additionally, it is unethical to force children under 18 to participate in a global experiment. Considering this virus, their recovery rates exceed 99.987% as of February 16th, 2021. Now, that to me, I think that Morgan & Morgan and Fair and the rest of them should be sharpening their blades, because I think we're going to be seeing, hopefully, some major court battles with all this.
Yes, it is my prayer. Dr. Grable, we've got about 45 seconds. Take these moments to, again, let our listeners know how they could reach you for further information and guidance.
Well, if you go to drgrable.com, it has all my contact information there. I'm located out here in Jacksonville Beach. And so we will give you a thoroughgoing over. And in my practice, we work together as a team. It's not I am doctor, I am God. You know, listen to what I say. We work with you and help guide you through your maze of issues.
Very good. Dr. Grable, thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.